Yeah, we're on page 149, 150 on the bottom numbers. In the Hebrew, it's just slightly below the middle of the page, the two dots. The first one in the line is Ki'ilu. And in the English, it's the last paragraph on the left-hand side, exactly so, figuratively speaking, which is an oxymoron.
Yes.
Anyway. So, we talked about our...
stupid bovine.
Yeah, we are... we talked about another expression of being spiritually focused and understanding the... Or feeling, more than understanding, feeling the unity that Hashem has with us and the world. And the ramifications thereof are going to come now in this week's lesson. And said that the best example that we have, the best physical example that we have to describe the unity that exists between Hashem and really the rest of the world is the example of the sun ray before it's emitted from the sun. Mm. We use the expression batel b'metzius, that is nullified in its existence, meaning it has an existence, but its existence is totally, completely dependent upon the godliness keeping it as an existence. So too it is with the sun ray. The sun ray does exist at its source. It would make sense that if it exists 93 million miles from its source, to the sense of intensity, that it can burn things. So for sure it has to exist at its source, 93 million miles closer to it. The only thing is that at its source, it has no existence separate from the sun. That's the example that he gives. So then he says, "V'kacha mamish derech mashal hu bitul ha'olam malayv v'metzias legabi makaray." So too it is by way of an example. And really, he uses the kiviyachol because it really is a very bad example. Any example we're going to try to describe the unity between Hashem and the world is going to be an impossibility, because, like it showed from those photographs, those movies that were taken by NASA, that they could see the surface of the sun doing something, indicating that there was something that did have a separate entity even while it was contained within the sun. Whereas our world, the physical world, doesn't have any semblance of separateness that is recognizable at all. When you're talking about being separate from Hashem, or being, in the case here, being unified, it's not that there is two things that are kind of like pasted together. There is only one thing. And he goes into great length in the first six chapters of Shaar Yevod Va'Emunah to try and explain the reason why that is because all the world is condensed godliness. And since it's made out of Hashem, so it's nothing more than Hashem, so it's nothing in addition to Hashem. So the only thing that exists is the one Hashem. That's why it's a bad example. So he says, so who orients a baruch hu kamashis baruch sham barichus, that the source of everything is the infiniteness of Hashem. Now, what's the point of all this? This would probably have been even better a point to stop last week, but it kind of ties everything in the way we.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with the printer of the Tanya who put the two dots there. If those are from actually the Alter Rebbe, I don't know if they put in there by the printer in 1906. This is a copy of that. Either way, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue with him because some big rebbe, has got the backing of having those two dots there.
Right.
So
exactly.
I'm not going to argue with him. Hinei kasher amik b'zeh harbi. Now, the point of chapter 33, which just if you're going to say that this is the conclusion of the chapters, the chapters that started in 26, which were the depression chapters.
Right.
So now, if a person's really going to concentrate on this concept. How it is that the only thing that really truly exists is Hashem and Hashem's unity, what will happen then? Yismach libay v'sagal nafshay. What will happen? His heart will be happy and his soul will rejoice. V'agil v'ranan b'chol lev v'nefesh ma'ayd. He'll be joyous and he'll sing out with his heart, with a full heart, soul, and might. Be'amuna zu. With this emuna. Now it's interesting, he calls this emuna. Mm. Okay, because what does emuna mean? Emuna means if we can't prove it. That's what the word emuna means. Belief means I believe this to be true. Yeah. I can't prove it, right. But I believe it to be true.
Right.
Okay? Okay, let's say there is a Hashem. And Hashem is not even spatial. So, going through, like, for example, Rambam's Principles of Faith. Mm-hmm. So, you go through the first five, they talk about Hashem. So, if you're going to say that there is a first cause, and therefore the first cause has never had a beginning, and therefore never has an end, so therefore the first cause is not spatial, because something which doesn't take up time doesn't take up any space
right.
either.
Right.
And if it's therefore not spatial, then we're not displacing him with our space.
Correct.
So this is all logical progressions, and therefore this world isn't adding or anything from Hashem.
Or taking away.
Or taking away either.
Right.
So that, we can sort of like logically come to the conclusion, but to say that the world is made of compressed godliness, okay, so that, how things work, is where our belief system comes in.
Right.
Okay, and to say that there is there's no there must be's. Like in the unlike the structure of the other belief systems of other religions, our belief system is really based on it has to be this way. Because it doesn't make any sense for it to be any other way.
Right.
And it would take me an hour and a half to go through, and I've done this actually quite recently, and I'm writing it up. This idea of why we believe in the 13 things that the Rambam says we believe. Mm-hmm. And if you start with, well, there has to be a first cause, you'll be able to go through all of those and the authenticity of the Torah and the prophets and the idea of praying and reward and punishment and the ultimate reward and punishment, it's Kriyas Amesim, it all locks, they're all interlocking pieces.
Right. Yes.
But how any of this is done, that's all based on Kabbalah, and Kabbalah means that somebody was told it. And we believe that Moshe came down Har Sinai with the information of about how a whole Seder Istalshelus worked, and how Hashem condensed himself to make this world. And if I can believe that the world is made up of atoms and subatomic particles and quarks and energy, I can believe the world is made up of Hashem too.
Sure, of course.
Okay, and just as it is that scientists have never seen an atom yet, say no, it has to be. They don't even say they believe in atoms. They say they know there's atoms. They've never right. seen them,
yeah.
But because they've seen evidence, circumstantial or indirect evidence to indicate the presence of such a thing, so they believe. They say they know about it. So the only way that we can say that we know about the presence of Hashem is with Hashgacha Pratis. So because things happen, and we're going to say it's not just coincidence, because the way that they happen is there's just too many things going on.
Correct.
To say that it's just all left to happenstance.
Happenstance, right.
So then we say, we do the same thing like the scientists do.
In essence.
Yeah. So, or maybe they do the same thing as we do. Mm. Okay. So what's going to happen now is he says, so he uses this word, amuna. That my whole existence is because of Hashem keeping me in existence. Mm. That's what I believe. Ki rabahu ki hu karevus elokim mamish. So that's correct. That means that I have a direct connection to Hashem. Mm. My mother, she should live to be long years and healthy years.
Amen.
She used to have an expression. When people would talk to her about religious people, she was raised religious, and then when she became a teenager, rejected it. And there is and was a certain bitterness to religiosity. And she would say, you know, as we talk about this guy, he's like a real, this is a great rabbi. She'd say, has he got a direct connection to God? And at one point, after, I don't know how long I was from for a long time, maybe 6-8 years, I was from already, and I said to her, why, now that you mention it, yes.
Okay.
And so do you.
Exactly.
So
the answer is yes.
She didn't know what to do with that answer, but you know.
Oops.
Yeah, you have the direct connection to God too. Yes. Yeah.
By the way, okay. you own one of those also.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We all got the hotline, the red
exactly.
phone.
Exactly.
Okay. So we don't even need the phone.
Right.
Okay. That the
cut out AT&T.
But what does that do if a person realizes that they have a direct connection to God and it's a local call? How does that make a person feel? Yippee!
Yeah,
That's a wonderful thing.
If they contemplate it only momentarily.
He uses the word kishiyamek. Amek means concentrate.
Yeah.
Concentrate means I got it so I can see it. It can't be any other way.
Right.
And then take that with you all day long.
Yeah.
That's what the verb kishiyamek means.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That this is, we have this close rapport, this relationship with Hashem. V'zeh kol adam v'tachlis b'riyosei. And now comes a very famous line that the Rebbe, when was it, 78, started with the first 6 pesukim, and then it became the 12 pesukim, and your kids all know the 12 Pesukim, and my kids know the 12 Pesukim, and it was drummed into their heads like the Pledge of Allegiance, and...
More so.
Yes. And so one of the Maimori Chazal that the Rebbe chose, of all the things that the person could choose, all the great sayings that a person would want, little kids to go running around screaming, is this line. V'zeu tachlis b'riyasa, y'obriyas kol ha'olamayse, el yayna v'tachtenim. I lost the place, I'm doing this by heart. V'zeu kol ha'adam tachlis b'riyasa, y'obriyas kol ha'olamayse, el yayna v'tachtenim, l'isal y'izbarak dira v'tachtenim, k'moshim or l'kamen b'arichis. That is the purpose of every person, and the purpose of all the creation, of his creation, the creation of all the worlds, the supernal worlds and the lower worlds, is to make a dira v'tachtenim for Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
So now, how could a person possibly ever get depressed if they realize that we have, that Hashem, because Hashem is united with me, and this is what a person should be thinking, because Hashem is united with me, and my whole existence is the way in which Hashem wants me to exist, and I am here for an expressed purpose, I can relate to Hashem anytime I want. I got that direct connection straight to God. And then there's a quid pro quo. God says, okay, you want to have connection with me? You got to put up. Not put up or shut up. We don't have that option.
Yeah.
It's put up.
Just put up, yeah.
And the put up is dir b'tachteini.
Right.
This coarse physical, which he's going to explain this later on in the next chapter. This coarse physical, at first glance, realm of void of any godliness,
mm-hmm.
has to now become one in which godliness is recognizable and abounding. That's why we're here. And indeed, that's why every single human being, close to 7 billion human beings, are in the world. Jews, of course, have the formidable task of being the leaders in this project, but non-Jews also. If it wouldn't be, if it, how do we know? If non-Jews didn't have mitzvahs, then we could say, okay, they're just like cows. Cows have no mitzvahs.
Right.
Okay, a cow can't do anything to fulfill making the world a dir b'tachtonim. It's only when a human being uses that cow for a good purpose. So now the reason for that cow's existence is realized. So non-Jews have a purpose in realization of the world's purpose. They have to take an active role in it through the same thing of utilizing the world to make the world a better place. You know, you have these people like Mr. Nobel who invented dynamite for the purpose of making railroad tunnels.
Yes.
Okay, he wanted to make the world a better place. Okay, that was his intention. Okay, and then when he saw he made so much money that he decided that he's going to give a peace prize for people right. who use things to make peace instead of what he created to make peace, to make travel easier, is now used to kill people.
Right.
Good. So in the meantime, so you have Yasser Arafat.
Yeah, now he's rolling. Yeah, yeah. Mr. Nobel is rolling over in his grave.
Yes, and President Obama.
Yes.
And these are people, Anwar Sadat. Yes. These are people who are peacemakers. Yes thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay.
Didn't take
so
the whole thing, make pieces out of it.
Yep. So the so our function in being. This is major. A person should be waking up in the morning and carrying himself through the whole entire day, with, of course, without driving himself neurotic, that this is my, I have function in being here.
Yes.
Okay, we talked about how does a person deal with melancholy in chapter 29. And one of the ways of dealing with melancholy just feels like, you know, I just don't feel like getting started. That's melancholy.
Right.
I'm going
to
get through the day. I just don't feel like getting it. I don't have any oomph.
Yeah.
I'm putting one foot after another. I'm doing it. But if a person is focused, that listen, what was I created for today? I was created today in order to make the world a much better place today than it was yesterday. So now what happens is a person remains goal-oriented.
Right.
And that's what we talked about back in chapter 29.
Right.
If a person stays focused and stays goal-oriented, they don't have melancholy just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So here now, so because we have this general purpose, this is very magnanimous, make a dwelling for God.
That's all.
Okay. But you have to interpret that, well, what am I going to do now to do it in order to do that? Stay tuned for chapter 34 and 35. He talks about the importance of doing mitzvahs.
Yeah.
But if a person can realize that every mouthful that they're taking, every step that they're walking, and they're doing it in order to somehow bring godliness into the world, you know, so it was pointed out in all the stories about the things about Purim, which are as much as his Haman comes to Ahasuerus and says to him, why should he be allowed to kill all the Jews? It says, Yeshnam Yam Echad, Mefuzar Mufarad Bein Ha'amim. There is one nation which is spread out and dispersed among the nations. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to assimilate. They want to blend in. And indeed, Rashi, it's one of my favorite Rashis in the Chumash, says that the sardines in Spain taste different than the sardines in Akko. It's the same sardine. But he uses it to compare Jews. Jews in Ethiopia look different than Jews from India. We have a tendency of adopting cultures.
Uh-huh.
You know, you ask somebody, I have the radio show, so you talk about Jewish music. There are so many genres of Jewish music. Why? Because wherever there's no such thing as Jewish music.
Right.
It's wherever the Jews happen to be playing and what people were listening to. So that stuff became adopted. And if you take klezmer music, which is called the quintessential Jewish music, this Eastern European stuff over there,
right,
and you'll play it next to bluegrass and next to Irish music,
right,
it's going to sound all the same.
Yeah.
It's basically the same. It's European folk music, you know, and the Kentucky bluegrass stuff. What's that coming from? That has its roots in the English stuff that got brought over to America 200 years ago, whatever.
Right.
Okay, and it's the same thing with food.
Right.
Okay. Why do Jews cook what they cook? Is because for the most part that's what was available. You want to go to the market and you buy whatever is there. And this idea of importing food only happened within the last 100 years. People ate local exclusively. And if you ate local, so okay. So the people in Persian made Persian food and the people in Europe made European food.
That's right. Exactly. That's right.
Okay? And there's just only so many things you could do with a potato once the potato was introduced from North America. Okay? So So Jews have this tendency of just, it's a natural thing because that's what happens.
Yeah.
Okay? So, Haman comes and says, you got this people, Yeshnam, they're Mufuzar, Mufarad, Bein Ha'am, and they're all spread out and dispersed. But then he comes up with another thing. Vidaite Hemve ain't Shava Behezagamela. They don't think like us.
Yeah.
Okay? Das could be translated different ways. Okay? But there is this thing called the Goyish Cup, and it does exist. Mm-hmm. Okay? And it's just the way that non-Jews are taught to think as opposed to the way the Jews are taught to think. Mm. I'm not saying which one's bad, which one's good. I mean, you know, but it's just the way that Jews...
It's just a thing.
I think, you know, is how many Jewish lawyers are there? They always say, you know, that Yeshiva Bachur make good lawyers because they do so well on the LSATs, because they learn Gemara, because the Gemara teaches them how to analyze and to think. Okay, good. No, so that's the way the Jews are taught to think. And every, you know, you can take a Yeshiva Bachur out of the Yeshiva, but you can't take the Yeshiva out of the Yeshiva Bachur.
Right, exactly.
So when he's going through life and he's doing whatever he's doing, whenever he comes up to us, that the guy could be a plumber.
Yeah.
Okay, when he's analyzing what pipes need to go where, he's doing it like a rabba and an abaya. Okay, he's got this whole schematic thing going on in his head.
Yeah.
Okay, so the... so he says, so that's what it means then when... I forgot the point I tried to make over here, got myself sidetracked. So when we are given this task,
you were saying that that both Jews and non-Jews had a place.
Correct.
To
right.
They have
a, we have this task of making a Dira B'tachten, making a dwelling place for Hashem.
Right.
Okay. It has to be our focus. It's not that it has to be our focus. It is our focus, and this is what keeps us.
It's our life.
This is how we keep straight and narrow. And I'm going to use the word happy because he used the word happy too.
It's true. If you're momish doing it, you're happy.
Correct.
If you're doing at it, you're not happy.
Yeah, you're going to get frustrated.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, how do you know if you're making a Dira B'tachtanim? I think you kind of get the idea. You know, it's every Kiddush Hashem that's made.
Mm.
You know, and Kiddush Hashems don't have to be. I'm not talking about martyrdom. I'm talking about every time it says, you know, these Jews guys, they're not. You know, thank you very much for being honest. You know, that type of a thing.
Correct.
You know, anyway. He gives an example. It says you got a regular, normal Joe. Okay, not Jew, a Joe. How happy is he when it comes to being close to a physical king? That you got this king. I never liked this example. And the king comes off of his throne and descends into the garbage pile that this guy calls home.
Wow.
And he brings him into the king's palace and he cleans him up and he gives him hugs and kisses as an example. And I'm wondering, who is this king over here? And how happy is this simple, lowly person that the king is showing him such kindness? No, this is a different example, sorry. The example is exactly the opposite. Mm. How happy is a person if the king would come and visit him?
Mm.
He would be totally, completely, he'd be going yippee all over the place.
He'd be elated, right.
Right. Regardless of a person's politics, if he got a person got whoever he could be, this guy could be the king of the Tea Party. If he got a letter stating that President Obama is coming for tea at his house, this guy would be totally and completely besides himself. And there would be very few people who would say, nah, no thanks.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, you need somebody, we mentioned it before, about the Rebbe telling President Carter to go jump, I don't need your phone call wishing me a happy birthday.
No kidding?
Yeah. It was right after King David.
Is that right?
Yeah, and Avraham Shem Tov did a lot of heavy lobbying, to get to the White House, that the White House would call up the 770 on Yud Aleph Nissan to wish the Rebbe a happy 80th birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, so the secretary called up Label. Groner picks up the phone. This is the White House calling.
Yeah.
President Carter would like to extend birthday greetings to the rabbi. Mm-hmm. Said, excuse me one second. Calls up the Rebbe. The Rebbe says to him, send my appreciation to President Carter, but tell him that a birthday is not a time for celebrating. A birthday is a time for self-introflection. Right. And he wouldn't take the call. Okay? So, okay. If Jimmy Carter called me on the phone right now, I would say, excuse me, I'm stopping this year for a minute. I'm going to go talk to President Carter. Okay?
I hear you.
Even though I really wish that the guy would have, like, there's not too many people I wish would have a Misa Mishuna, but he's right up there.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I would definitely take the call. Oh, absolutely. You know, so how happy then are we with knowing that every single day, from the moment you open your eyes, you have the opportunity of hosting the King of Kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mm. It should make you very happy. There's no reason to be depressed.
Indeed.
As it says in the Pasuk, who is this who can engage their heart to approach me, says Hashem. Ve'al zeh tikna liten shevach ve'hayda l'shma yizbarach v'chol bakar loymer ashreinu ma'atev chalkeinu u'mayafi yirushatheinu. About this, we say every single morning, how lucky are we, how good is our portion, how beautiful is our inheritance. And this the Rebbe explained in a very long mimer, which the Rebbe checked, and it appears in the books, that those three expressions, Ma Tov Chalkeinu U'manayim Gerolenu U'mayafi Yerushasenu, refers to the three levels of godliness that it takes to create the world.
Ooh, really?
Yes. Chalkeinu, our portion, refers to the godliness which is enclosed in the world. Goralenu refers to the level of Soviv Kol Olmim, which relates to the world, because a goral, a lot, is an expression of divine will. Like with Purim, like Haman, the standard sicha which is given about why did Haman choose a lottery to pick the date, and why is the holiday called Purim, because of the lottery, has to do with it. Haman tried to tap into the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of going beyond intellect and rationality and tapping into a super rational level of Hashem. That's a goral. Okay? You cannot sit and logically figure out which numbers are randomly going to come up in the computer. If you could, there'd be some mighty rich people out there. Okay? And even Shlomo Savalowski, who is a professor of statistics, and which leads to statistical probability, has come up with a surefire way of hitting the three pick. You know, you pick three numbers, but even he just says, well, you just pick the same number every day and bet $1, and then after a month you bet $2, and after 3 months you bet $3, and eventually it'll hit and you'll win all your money back. Thank you. And you do the same thing with the four pick, it's just you got to use $100 every day.
Right, there you go.
Okay. And then Yerusha Seinu, what do you have to do to get a Yerusha? Nothing. You just have to be born of the right people. So that refers to the level of godliness, which is even higher than Soviv.
Right.
Like the Torah is called a Yerusha. It is something which belongs to everybody.
That's right.
Kalaimer means to say, Kamesha Adam Sfas Sas Visameach. Just like a person is so happy. Be Yerusha Shanafla Lying Hain Atik Shalai Amobai. That the person has fallen on him an old ancient inheritance. He didn't have to work for such a thing. it talks about it, that if a person has a relative who died, mm-hmm. he has to say the bracha Baruch Dayan Emes. Okay, for this horrible tragedy that befell him, blessed is the judge of truth. So then it says, but what happens if the guy, he hears now he's got an inheritance coming? So it says, so if he has no siblings, so then he says, the Baruch HaTayvu Meitiv, how Hashem is good and does good.
Yeah.
Okay? Because now he's coming to, and it says, as soon as he hears the news, because when is he aware, if he's the only child, and his father has bucks, so when is he going to be aware that he now had inherited all of his father's money? As soon as he heard his father's dead.
Right, sure.
So in one instance, on one hand, he's very happy, so I'm very sad. So he should first say, Dayan Emes, and then immediately say, Atayvu Meitiv. If he's got siblings, so he says a Shehechiyana because he's got to share it. Mm-hmm. He feels, no, never, I have to share my inheritance with my sibs.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Such a tsaros.
Yeah, so how happy a person feels.
Yeah.
Cain v'yaisim mekain le'ein kate. So this is the way it is, and it's no way even describable or comparable. Yesh lana lismayach al Yerushaseinu. We have to be happy about our inheritance. What's our inheritance? Shehin chilu avaseinu, which our forefathers bequeathed to us. And what is that? Hu yichud Hashem amiti, that we get to be united with God. It's true that every person alive in the world can refer to Hashem as their father, and we are all children of God, all 7 billion of us. Mm-hmm. But Jews are called B'nai Bechori. We get to be the firstborn, as we mentioned way back when in chapter 2.
Right.
And we, therefore, get this inheritance that nobody else has, and that's our ability to relate to spirituality.
Yes.
Asher afilu ba'aretz mitachas ein oid melvader, that when it comes to God's unity, that even this physical world is nothing in addition to Hashem. And he explained, and we've had it before, and he's going to come and say it again. When we say ein oid melvader, that Hashem is not even an ode, not even an addition.
Right.
Okay, there's nothing even added there. It's the expression Yehuda va'ed lakra, is the expression. That it says, how do we know that we can use the term Hariat Mekudeshesli, since it's in the Gemara, by getting married, I betroth you with this ring, like according to the Nile, you know.
Okay.
Says, why do we use the word Mekudesh? It says, because it's based on a Pasuk. And then it says, and by the way, in the province of Yehuda, they also called this the way they called it. Mm-hmm. So you already asked the question, Yehuda Vayd Lakra. You have a Pasuk and a Yehuda. What do you need the Yehuda for? You got the Pasuk. And it refers to the Yehuda as the ode, the addition. Mm-hmm. Okay? So there is no ode, there is no addition when you're talking about Hashem.
Okay.
Vizuhi dirasa v'tachtainim. And this then becomes a dwelling place for Hashem. And we recognize this as such. Vizesh amarizal, this is what our sages say, teriyag mitzvahs nitan li Yisrael. 613, now he's really summing it up and encapsulating it. 613 commandments were given to the Jewish people. Bo Habakkuk v'hamid alachas. Comes along the prophet Habakkuk. And I don't know why. Habakkuk was a tremendous prophet. He was one of the leaders of his generation. Mm-hmm. He's got a whole book in the Bible.
Right.
How many Habakkuks have you met?
None.
Right. I don't know. No, some names just didn't.
Just didn't make the grade.
Just didn't get the cut.
Didn't make the grade.
Yep. He says that tzaddik lives by his faith. That statement right there is enough to keep you going until you're 120 years old and further. Tzaddik be'amunasa yichyeh. I'm not a tzaddik, I'm a tzaddik. You got news for you. Tzaddik, you're a tzaddik. Okay, as far as this is concerned. Because there really is nothing else to keep us going besides our faith in Hashem.
Right. Absolutely true.
And, you know, people laugh at Christian Scientists. You know, they make all kinds of jokes. Mm-hmm. You know, what was it? There was a record, Tom Lear was a parodyist. Mm-hmm. He wrote a song about Soviet and American armaments and nuclear non-proliferation, etc. And he said, what's going on between the United States and Russia right now is beginning to make me feel like a Christian Scientist with appendicitis. Okay. Now, we people laugh at Christian Scientists, what weirdos they are.
Yeah.
But they're not that far off as far as philosophy goes. But we should take it one step further. If we really trusted in Hashem, we wouldn't get sick. If we really trusted in Hashem, you shouldn't have to go to work. What's the problem? We're from the Katnei Amunah. We are small of faith. Oh, ye of little faith. You have to go to work. Why is it that it doesn't work for you to stay home? Because you don't believe it. You don't believe that if you sit home all day long, that Hashem is going to pay your bills. So what do? You wake up and you go to work. And you know what? Hashem pays your bills through your working. Likewise also, we don't believe enough in Hashem to keep us from getting sick. So therefore, we believe that the doctor is going to heal us. Or that Hashem is going to heal us through the doctor, is what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. That's why we make Mishaberos, that Hashem should be able to heal us through the doctors. Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anything wrong with going to a doctor? There's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. It's perfectly, is there anything going with work? So if you got to go to work, you got to go to work. What can I tell you? Mm-hmm. Okay, but it should be that a person's faith should, a person have faith in God just doesn't mean I believe.
Okay.
It says, Tzadik be'emunasa yichye. He lives. Meaning to say that our belief in God, this attitude that a person has, is it now the channel to allow the godliness to come in. Mm. I had to explain. I think it was Yosef Weinberg, He Should Live and Be Well, explained when you write a letter to the Rebbe, you write a letter as such, Dear Rebbe, my grandmother has terminal cancer. The doctor says she's going to die in 3 weeks. Can I have a bracha for a complete cure? No. What you just painted the Rebbe into a corner. No, you can't do that. You just said that there's no hope for this woman and she's going to die. So where's the bracha supposed to go? You have to allow some kind of a channel for the bracha to come in.
Okay.
So what we're talking about over here is that a person's faith in Hashem, that everything's just going to work out the way it's supposed to work out. Okay? And Hashkacha, like my wife says, Hashkacha Pratis means even when things go wrong. Thalsha Hashkacha Pratis.
Yes.
Okay? So if a person can do it, and it takes a lot of effort on them, it really does. This is a person, the person has to work on it and be cognizant of it 24/7, the relationship that we have with Hashem. Mm-hmm. So that you can sit down at the beginning of the month and write your bills and pay your bills online, whatever, how you pay your bills, and just tell God, okay, God, you're on now. Let's see how the money's going to come in now. Okay, you'll go to work and you get your paychecks and it'll go direct into the direct deposit and it'll pay off all the bills, hopefully, God willing. Okay, and it's all completely dependent upon a person's faith in Hashem.
Right.
Okay, does it get harder when things are going wrong? That's when it's time to really step up.
Yeah.
Because now that's when you really need to have the connection open.
Here's a dynamic that I'm sure that other people add in, or maybe they don't, but that I tend to add in. And this may be a throwback from past, but I tend to question
There's never a question of Hashem's desire or ability to provide me with everything I need in the story.
Okay.
There is a question in my mind by times, not always, but by times, whether I'm worthy to receive it.
Oh, that's Yetzirah.
Sure, of course it is. I'm not arguing that
that's,
point.
Yeah.
But,
one of the things, my mother was like Miss Cliche.
Okay.
I used to tell her, Mom, we're going to drop a list. You don't even have to say the cliche anymore. You just say the number that we put in. We'll assign a number to it.
7,
you know.
Yeah.
My mother used to say,
yeah,
just learn how to say thank you graciously.
Yes, that's true. That's an absolute truth.
Yes.
That's an absolute truth.
That was one of her sayings.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Okay. You don't think you deserve it?
You're right.
Just shut up and just say thank you.
No, there's no fact. There's no question. I don't. It's just whether or not.
Listen,
because of the way I live, does it stop up the?
David Vichten, all of a sudden, used to say, "If you got what you deserve, you'd be in serious trouble."
Damn right. Damn right. Absolutely right. Without question, fact, indeed, for sure, for certain. Yes.
So.
This
has to be, this is like I said, when I first learned this, not when I first learned it, because when I first learned it, I didn't understand what it was talking about. That was when I was like 18 years old.
Yeah.
But when I was learning this, when I don't know if I was teaching it, I was doing Tanya Chitas, I don't know what it is, I had this epiphany. When I read this line over here, that Tzadik Be'amunasa Yichyeh, and what it entails, after the leading up to this.
Right.
This is how a person has to live. This is what's going to take you through life.
That's the whole piece. It's the whole
right
piece.
Right there.
Yeah, the whole piece.
Okay?
Yes.
This one concept is going to take a person through life.
Yeah.
Through faith alone, a person will come and do all 613 commandments. Dahainu kishiyi alev sos v'sameach v'unasa v'yichuda yizborach v'tachlis ha-simcha. That the person is expressing an ultimate joy because of his relationship that he has with this singularity we call Hashem, that he is incorporated into, that he's not even an oid, an addition. The person has to be happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. As he said, betachlis ha-simcha. Betachlis ha-simcha means you can't get any more. And it should all boil down. A person should feel, 613 commandments is a burden. There's a lot of stuff to do. But if you do the Habakkuk way, it's all like you're doing one thing.
Mm-hmm.
All I gotta do is one thing.
Right.
Okay? I just gotta do mitzvahs. All 613 of them. But it's only one thing.
I'll tell you how I look. I look at that, and there's not room for commentary here, but anyway, but I find it an amazing, tangible expression of God's immense love.
Of course.
Because he could have said, do this one thing, and if you can do this, if you do the one thing, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens if you don't do the one thing? We're not good. So what did he do? He said, I only want to be involved in everything in your life. From tying your shoes.
Right.
To how you get, to how you lay down to go to sleep.
Right.
So only part I want to be involved with your life is all of it. Just only all of it.
Right.
That's amazing.
Right. Well, he did try the one thing rule, and Adam blew it, so.
Well, fine.
We'll give you one thing to do. Don't eat from the fruit. He ate from the fruit. Nope. Here we are.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll take the piece we got right now.
Right.
Because I blow it sometimes. But
I've got my collar on the straight way.
So.
I don't do that confession stuff.
Yeah.
You couldn't afford my dispensations anyway.
I understand.
You want dispensations for feminine, you got to put up big bucks, yes.
Yeah, they're
right. Okay. And fulfilling this mitzvah is the only reason why you're created. Ubrius coloilomys, and not only you, but everything else was created. The whole entire spectrum of creation, from Simsim Arishon all the way down to this lowly world and all the people in it, were only created so that you could have faith in Hashem.
Yeah.
So now, what's going to happen is the person is going to have such a tremendous feeling of joy from this realization. Tisala nashay lemaila maila al kol magniyam kiyam kol terek mitzvahs mebayisam echutz. What's going to happen now is any obstacle which is going to prevent him from doing any of the commandments is simply going to melt away. I've got a goal. I'm very goal-oriented. I am very focused. And whatever is in my path doesn't exist. And it says it's very interesting, mebayisam echutz. Whether that be an external obstacle or an internal obstacle.
Good.
I'm not going to let it get in my way.
Right.
I feel depressed. I feel melancholy. I feel unworthy of this task set before me. That doesn't exist.
Yeah, so.
It's not even something even to consider.
Yeah, yeah,
I've got to get to the end of the tunnel.
Right.
V'zeh sh'amar be'amunasi yichia. Yichia daike. Ketchias ha'meisim derech moshel. Is what it means that Tzaddik, by his faith, will live. Will live is future tense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, by Tchiyas HaMesim.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to get the guy back when Mashiach comes? What was his relationship with Hashem?
Right.
Now, we're all going to come back, because right. Jews are Ma'aminim B'nai Ma'aminim. Essentially, if you uncover enough of the schmutz that's covering over any Jew, you'll get to that Amunah part. So they're all coming back.
Yeah.
But where are they coming back when they come back is dependent upon what they're doing now.
Right.
And so he says now, so the person's stature in when Mashiach comes is based on his faith in Hashem and his relationship in realizing that all 613 commandments are an expression of this belief in God.
Right.
So too also his soul will rejoice with a tremendous simcha, which is doubled and quadrupled. Ki milvad simcha sa nefesh ha-maskelis pekarevus Hashem v'dirosa itay imay.
Because in addition to the fact that he understands intellectually, that he's now providing a dwelling place here, and it's like he's living, Hashem is living in his house.
Eis is furthermore, yismach bekaflayim, he'll get double simcha, that he'll feel that he's now providing Hashem, not only just the deer, but he's giving Hashem pleasure also as well. You know, because we could bring somebody in the house and have him sleep in a broom closet too.
Yeah. Indeed, yes.
But you're making him comfortable, making him happy. Our job is not only just to provide a place for Hashem to be in this physical world, but make Hashem happy that he's here.
Right.
And what is that? This is talked about in every Hasidic book ever printed by Lubavitch. The Eskafia Sitrach Ramamish. Through doing Eskafia. What makes Hashem happy? When a person says, nah, I'll pass. Hashem says, man, it's all worthwhile. The whole Atzilus thing going on over there, just for that guy to say, I'll pass, makes it all worthwhile. He's habrich hashechel in ahera, and the converting of light of dark to light, which we talked about before, shehu choshech haklipa shelo olam hazeh achumri, that this refers to the darkness of this world from the klipa, which are coarse and which obscure, umekasim al oriyus borach, and they cover over the light of Hashem, ad eis kates, until the end of time, kemoshikos of kates slam lachoshed Hashem will place an end to the darkness, referring to the Messianic era. That then there won't be any darkness. The Hainu, much more we got. We're going to finish today, sorry. The Hainu Keitz HaYamim, that means at the end of days. Shava Ruach HaTumim in Haaretz, that then the spirit of impurity will be wiped away from the face of the earth. V'nigla Kvod Havai, and the glory of God will be revealed. V'ra'a Kobasar Yachtav Kemosh HaKosav L'Kamen, and all flesh will see, as will be explained later, and these are all Pesukim. Ubeprat ba'artzes oilam, and specifically when you're talking about the land of the goyim. Shavirim mitamei molei klipas v'sitra achra. That even the atmosphere is impure and filled with klippas. Okay, this has halachic ramifications. If you're standing on the border of Israel and outside of Israel, and in your hand you have teruma, which is supposed to be eaten by a kohen, but can only be eaten by the kohen if the kohen is tahar, is ritually pure, and the gift of food is also ritually pure. This guy's got some truma. It's earmarked to go to a Kohen. He's standing on the border. He stretches his hand outside of Israel and brings it back in. The truma has to be burnt. It's no longer good.
Is that right?
Because it was in the airspace of outside Israel.
Really?
And the airspace makes things impure. That's why he talks about it. I think we mentioned this before. He talks about the Av Eretz Israel Mechakim. The air in Israel makes people smart. And the air outside of Israel is metame, clouds people's brains. So does that mean that people in Israel are smarter and think clearer? I guess the word clearer and smarter is relative. How stupid would they be if they were living outside Israel? So, I'm not going to comment anymore on that statement. I don't want the Shin Bet showing up on my door at 2 o'clock in the morning. Finman, what you've been posting on the net about the intelligence of Israelis. Anyway, our dear Israeli brothers. Uka'ara v'simcha ki yisran or haba min ha'choshech daike. And here we have this advantage of light, like light coming out from darkness, which we talked about before. V'zeshekasev, and this is also one of those 12 pesukim, yismach yisrael ba'isav. That the Jews should be happy with their creator, with their maker, with the creator. Pirush, meaning to say, Shekol mi shehu mezera Yisrael, any person who can call themselves Jewish, Yeshel l'soyev mayach v'simchas Hashem, they have to be happy just like Hashem is happy. Asher sas v'sameh b'derasi v'tachtenim. And what is Hashem happy with? Hashem is happy every time we invite Him in. And how do you invite Hashem in? By saying, no thanks, I don't need that. Shehem b'chinas asiya gashmius mamash, that means actually physically doing. V'zeshekosev b'oisev lashon rabim. This is what it says, that a person should be happy with his makers, is literally the way that would be translated, plural. Shu'olem mezah gashmi hamali klippas v'sitra achra nikra reshus rabim tira de peruda. Because when you look at this physical world is filled with a lot of stuff. And you know what? That's all it is. It's just stuff.
Stuff, that's right.
And we call that area Rishus Harabim. Rishus means, in addition to the word permissive, it means an area. It also means a realm. Okay, Rishus Harabim means a realm of the masses.
Okay,
in this case, it means here, a realm where there is more than just the opposite of unity. Where he says mountains of separation. That's what the forces of evil are called. Because they put up such tremendous block against the light of Hashem. Okay? When a person's going through a test, he's got a mountain in front of him.
Indeed, yes.
Okay? When a person is drawn towards something physical, it poses a mountain of separation between him and Hashem because he's throwing himself into the physical. Right. And by converting this darkness to light, it turns the Rishus HaRabim, this public domain, into a private domain. Kedusha, there's only one level of Kedusha.
Okay.
Either it's holy or it's not holy. Okay, there are degrees. You know, the Rambam lists 10 degrees of holiness in the land of Israel.
Right.
Okay, what can be done in each one? Because they're holier than the next one.
Right, okay.
But once something's holy, it's holy. There's only one type of holiness where there are numerous types.
Holy or not holy.
Of unholiness.
Right.
And what happens now is because a person has this faith and now turns the public domain with all the multiplicity of the world into a private domain, into a level of holiness that you call making a living. To be continued.